Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 278 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, I read through it in the notes, man. I still had Wednesday on there, but I read the right day.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't even know. Well, you know, I always, whenever you do the notes, I always just kind of have a sigh of relief that I didn't have to do it. So,
right.
I always feel better, just instantly feel better.
That's usually when I screw it up, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually it's not me anymore. I feel like I'm in the good graces with you lately.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's I don't know good. How that happened.
Boss hasn't fired me yet, so I'll take that. I'll take it.
Right. So how's it going this week, James?
Oh man, it's been a week already. So the company that I work for, non NASCAR division, we turned 100. So we have a huge event this week. So I have been cautiously optimistic that I'm going to make it through this week without any disasters. So I've got 2 days to go to get this thing in the rearview mirror, and then I'm going to finally be done with the majority of things that we've got going on over there. But my God, I'm sick of it. I'm ready to take my camper and go get out of here, and then I'll be happy. I'll be a very happy man.
We don't have a camper. And this is how desperate I am to do something. So I want to motorhome something terrible, but of course they're outrageous and I don't have the money to buy one. Yeah. So I actually have in my wish list on Amazon right now at like a 10-person tent, because I figure maybe if I get a big enough tent, it'll be okay. I know it won't be. I know that.
I was going to say, let me answer that for you if you want.
I know the answer to that question, but that's where I'm, because so we have the dog and the dog is a pain in the rear and nobody wants to take the dog for us, and I don't want to board the dog. And so it'd be nice to be able to take him with us, but it kind of limits your Airbnb options, definitely limits your hotel options. So I don't know.
I can't see you as motorhome guy. Although I do know that you lived in a camper for a long period of time.
I feel like during your
home transition.
I can do the camper thing, but the tent thing is not me. The last time I stayed in a tent, officially stayed in a tent, James, was back in, was it 2008 at MIS when it rained till Tuesday?
Yeah, 2007, actually.
That was my last tent experience, and then I've never done it again. I've stayed overnight every once in a while. Yeah, exactly.
That was, that weekend was, I was never so happy, so sad, and so happy again all at the same time, because I couldn't go Monday.
Yeah.
And then the skies opened up for me on Tuesday, and I was there. And then they had to red flag the race because it was too foggy. So, what an event that was. What a day.
Well, speaking of events, we had a hell of an event this weekend, James. We had, I'm going to argue that not only was this the best race this season, but this was the best race with this car yet at Kansas Speedway this weekend. What do you think? Do you agree with me there?
I'm going to choose not to argue with you because I agree. There was a moment in this race way before we got to the end.
Yeah.
Where we had five cars under a blanket for the lead.
Yep.
And I got the feels this. I'm like, oh man, this looks great. This is what we've been jonesing for. Horsepower be damned. This was good racing, and I was thrilled to see it. And then obviously we had, you know, the finish that we had was great, naturally played out. And it was just, you know, the race just flowed, even with the cautions, just flowed really well. Lead changes, comers and goers. And then at the end, you got a little skirmish, and that is quintessential NASCAR. Is that true?
That
the old Brian France saying, right?
I will say that when I looked at the graphic that Fox does, which by the way I love, at the top of the screen where it shows the green flag laps with the caution laps, as we got into that third stage, there was quite a bit of yellow up there, and maybe that might have been the only downfall. But they seemed to kind of fall at the right place to where it wasn't too annoying. And we didn't have, you know, 14 lap cautions like we had in the ARCA race the day before. So it was kind of tolerable.
Yep.
But yeah, it just all around, like you said, the racing was so good. I mean, Kansas is such a great track, and it just makes me wonder where did Michigan screw up? Because Michigan supposedly had progressive banking already when they repaved it. It already had progressive banking, and it just has never matched what Kansas has. I mean, even straight out of the bucket for Kansas. I mean,
and what Auto Club became, you know, before its demise. But
I mean, Michigan was good. I mean, obviously, we just, when they paved Michigan, it must have been the worst possible time when it comes to asphalt, because they had the best asphalt that doesn't wear out of any, and that's not what you want. You want it to wear out.
And I don't even know if it's so much a Michigan problem as it's just Kansas is really good.
Yeah,
like it is. Kansas is consistently putting on great races, and I think it's because these cars are a handful for the drivers there. Just the way,
but it's even been before this car, James. Kansas has always kind of been the anomaly with the cookie cutter tracks.
Yeah, it's a handful. The place is an absolute handful.
Yeah.
Chicagoland tapped into that just a little bit.
Yeah, but Chicagoland had to weather to get there.
Yep. Exactly. Darlington gets in there, you know, but that's not a cookie. That's not a cookie cutter. But you know, there's a handful of racetracks where you just, you gotta wheel it no matter, you know, no matter what the car has been, and there, you just know they're going to be good races. I was looking forward to Kansas, and I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to Kansas come playoff time, because can you imagine if this is, you know, if this is what we got on a regular season event, the playoffs should be ratcheted up to 100 here, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So as Kyle Larson was leading, coming to the white flag, I was already pretty damn satisfied that this was going to be a pretty epic race, and already kind of on the bandwagon of one of the best, definitely the best race of the season. And and then coming out of turn two, old Denny Hamlin gets a fender and a Larson and puts him in the wall. James, what are your thoughts on Denny's move? Was it okay? Did Denny wreck him, or was that hard racing?
Yes, that was hard racing. Did Denny wreck him? Yes, he did. And then, I can't help but wonder if Denny got hit like that, what his response would have been, because I think it's Denny might be, boy, I don't want to take it away from him. That was a great battle, and I'm actually okay with it.
The fact that he ran him down. I mean,
yeah, it was great. I mean, they were, and Larson, you know, can't go on without saying he was wheeling.
Yeah,
that car was evil.
Yeah,
for him. I just have to wonder what would have been if it was the reverse and Denny got dumped like that, because I think Denny would have been screaming, or maybe interrupting somebody's celebration.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, Eric, there was nothing dirty about it. I half jokingly said that Denny couldn't get him clean, but really, I don't think he had an option. He just couldn't quite get him. And then finally, there was an opening off of two. And you know, you got to be aggressive there. You can't blame Denny. I mean, the win's right there. It's been almost a year since he's gotten one. And I was okay with it. I mean, I know it was, you know, it was just good. It was just tough racing. Battling for the win is a different beast, especially when you're not wrecking somebody intentionally, which I don't think he did.
So I'm going to disagree with you.
Oh, great.
I think Larson wrecked himself. and my evidence for that is the fact that Larson turned right after the contact. I think what happened is Larson came off that corner. Larson was loose. And if you look at the head-on shot down the backstretch, his car comes down. Now, Denny didn't move. Denny didn't cut him any slack. Denny certainly could have turned left, and there wouldn't have been contact, and there wouldn't have been an accident. Larson would have won the race.
Yes.
But Larson came off the wall into Denny, and was correcting the fact that he was coming off the wall, which is why, to his surprise even, his car went right into the wall and not down the track. That's my thought on it. It was just hard racing.
That's why you can't really place blame. Right. I think you touched on a point that is also accurate. I think one comes down and one comes up, and they just met.
Yeah. It's two guys racing for the win, which is exactly what you want to see.
And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't an intentional dump,
no,
which we've seen. We were just talking before we started recording, and we know we were looking up some numbers for Darlington, and I go, oh yeah, Joey Logano completely destroyed William Byron at Darlington last year. I have much more of a problem with that than I do, you know, with two guys who are just battling it. And Denny's car was handling so much better than Larson's at this point in the race. Denny just couldn't get the clean air, and he found a way to get the clean air, you know, whatever happens. And, you know, Larson was able to salvage it. Yeah, he still got second. Yeah, he did. He was limping her around, but I part of me was really bummed though, Eric, because I would have loved to have seen those guys keep it clean to through turn four and seen what would have happened down the straightaway. But you know, that's really hard to do. It's extremely hard what they're doing right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. We saw people lose it on their own coming off that turn multiple times throughout the weekend. So, you know, something
else. They battled for dang near 20 laps, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a long, you know, can you imagine being up on the wheel?
Yeah.
You know, battling for a win for that
right
long.
Right off the wall like that. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah.
And that's why it's so impressive. You know, what Denny did was impressive, but I think even more so. I'm always impressed by Kyle Larson. And, you know, Denny's crew chief hinted at it, and it was something I've been kind of mulling around as I've paid more attention to F1 and things that are going on in motorsports. I'm trying to dabble a little bit and seeing Larson going into the, you know, getting fitted for his Indy 500 seat and things like that. But Kyle Larson being the best driver in the world or most talented driver in the world, I really think that he's right there with anybody. So it was just to go head to head with that guy, especially with the car that he's got this year. You can't take anything away from Denny to get one over on him here. And it's just a big moment for him for the season.
Yeah. I'm glad you paid attention to F1 because nobody else did. So
that's right. yeah. We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention on Sunday either. I'm going to be honest with you.
One thing to point out here, we had 12 drivers lead laps in this race, 37 lead changes, most ever for Kansas. And really of those 12 drivers, 10 of them led, you know, significant laps. It wasn't just strategy that got them the lead for a while. And you know, the top 9 drivers that finished all led multiple laps throughout the day. And even that, you know, you've got guys like Kyle Larson led 85 laps. Kyle led the most laps, but then you got Martin Truex Jr. led 79. Tyler Reddick led 23. Denny Hamlin led 34. You know, this was a pretty even race as far as people leading laps versus what we've seen over the past several weeks and you know, where we're complaining about drivers can't pass and whatnot.
Yeah.
That wasn't an issue here, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you didn't mention, I think, one of the more impressive things of the day was a guy who started on the pole and didn't even lead that many laps, William Byron, coming from 3 laps down and getting all the way up to third. I mean, and Kyle Larson spun in this race too off the bumper of Tyler Reddick. So, you know, I think a lot of conversation out of this race was, hey, the Gibbs and the Toyota camp, they look really fast, but you know, you put this race in a capsule and you look at it in a hole here, man, those two Hendrick cars, those two cars just seem to be, you know, next level fast, even if they get bested a little bit here and there. You know, that's just impressive that both of those guys came off of spins and issues and were top three. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Let's talk about it, James.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go. Now, James, this is the third week in a row.
Yes, it is.
That Ross Chastain is really the story from the race, and he didn't win.
That's right.
Chastain runs Gregson a little wide. I don't know. I don't think it was too egregious what he did. Gregson bounces off the wall, takes some swipes at him during the race, and then confronts him on pit road following the race during Kyle Larson's interview, which ruined a great interview with Kyle Larson, by the way. But
I think it added to it.
That's true.
Larson started giggling.
Yeah. So Noah comes up and grabs a hold of Chastain and has him for a second. And then Chastain takes a swing and lands one. Once again, somebody tries to get one up on Chastain and loses. Noah's getting praised in the garage for doing something, but did Noah do anything, James?
That's gonna be the quote. Somebody's got to do it. Thanks, Chase Elliott.
Right?
You know? I mean,
did he do anything? No, he didn't do anything. He got hit. He took a punch. Yeah. That's what he did.
He at least confronted him in the open, which nobody seems to want to do.
Yeah.
But he made a fatal mistake.
You aren't kidding.
You know, if you put your hands on somebody, you gotta expect that you're gonna get one coming back your way. And I think if he was gonna put his hands on him, he should have started with the swing and not the grab. I think that was Noah's mistake.
And that was a solid
connection. Oh yeah, he cracked him. Yeah, there shout out to NASCAR. They had a multiple angles on this thing, and that video where you hear the crack, it wasn't the hardest punch in the world, but for a couple of race car drivers who aren't boxers, that was definitely a good pop.
I believe this is Chastain's thrown one two or three times now, hasn't he?
He got in a scuffle with in the Xfinity series once.
Yeah.
He's had a handful of run-ins over the years, but he's not a God. Who did he fight?
I don't remember.
In the Xfinity series, I can't remember. But I'm sure you could find it.
I think his cred went up, James.
Well, and I think too, if he's smart, he's been taking defensive fighting lessons.
I would hope so,
because of the way he's been driving.
He definitely was ready for it.
Yeah, and he told Noah, like, he gave him a chance. Like,
you better stop.
It was a great maneuver because Ross, while Noah's weak hand was on his fire suit, Ross instantly went for the strong hand and grabbed that right hand. Smart maneuver. Yeah. Kept his other hand free and got him. I love so much about this.
the best part was the bowl cut about the whole thing. Yes. The bowl cut.
We'll live in infamy. The bowl cut will never go away. Noah, Eric, we should have known that Noah was going to be the guy to come at him, outside of the race car. I just wish, I don't know about you, Eric. Maybe you have a different opinion on this. I just wish they would let these guys get it out of their system.
Oh, definitely.
I feel like they get intervened on just a little too quickly, but then again, you don't want these guys getting hurt. So I don't know.
Well, that guy was obviously there to keep Ross safe and did his job.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And if I were Ross, I would probably have a big dude standing by me too.
Yeah. And Noah, speaking of big dudes, Noah's kind of hulking compared to other drivers. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to go up against Noah. I just love the fact that there's somebody in the garage, as I channel my inner Chase Elliott, there's somebody in the garage who's had enough of what Ross is doing on the track, and maybe Noah's grandstanding just a little bit here, but
Noah knows he's not doing himself any favors the way he's running, so he might as well get some headlines somewhere some other way. He's not stupid. He knows damn well what he's doing. He knows
how to get the socials.
The reason
going.
That Noah is in the Cup Series is because Noah knows how to market himself.
Yes, but here's the other thing too, Eric, and this is, I don't know how many times we're gonna beat the Ross Chastain drum. I guess if he keeps this up, we will.
Well, 3 weeks in a row, like I said.
This is awesome for NASCAR.
Yeah.
And I got a tweet here from Adam Stern that I'll read. Ross Chastain and Noah Gragson drove more Twitter engagements combined during and after Sunday's NASCAR race than the next 23 drivers combined.
Yeah.
Noah and Ross combined for 120,000 impressions, while the next 23 drivers were just under that. So,
yep.
And that includes 38,000 for Denny Hamlin and his win. So,
James, we have a star in the making in the NASCAR Cup Series. I know you hate it, but we have a star in the making in the Cup Series. And all that matters at this point is how it's handled from here, how it's promoted. I didn't get a chance to listen to most of the podcast this week, but I did listen to a clip from Dale Jr.'s, and he talked about that, basically brought this up specifically, and said that if his people are smart, if NASCAR is smart, they are going to market the crap out of this, because this is how Dale Earnhardt became the Intimidator. Dale Earnhardt did not become the Intimidator because, as Jr. said, he didn't walk into the track and say, "Hey guys, I'm the Intimidator from here forward." No, they slapped it on hats and they slapped it on t-shirts.
Right.
This is, NASCAR needs to take this and run with it. I've already seen they did a good job of putting some composites together with quotes from different drivers and quotes from Chastain and stuff that they put out on social media this week. They need to do more than that. They need to take that money they spent promoted tweets with Chase Elliott when he returned and put that money into Ross Chastain right now, because this dude is going to now take NASCAR out of the NASCAR bubble and then in the mainstream bubble. And is it the guy you want to do it? Maybe not. Maybe you want Chase Elliott to do it, but Chase Elliott ain't doing anything to do it. So this is our opportunity right now, and NASCAR needs to capitalize on it. Ross Chastain's people need to capitalize on it. And guess what? Ross Chastain drives for a team that is really damn good at promoting stuff. So
absolutely. Yep.
I hope they take this and run with it. I want to see, you and I talked before earlier this week, I want to see Ross jump in and be the villain. I want to see him. Earnhardt didn't apologize like Chastain does. I guess that's the thing that bothers me the most. Stop apologizing. Do what Earnhardt did. Get out and say, yeah, I didn't mean to do it. it's obvious you did, but be the villain, or, you know, sorry, that's how I race. You know, own it. These guys are already taking swings at you, or at least grabbing onto your uniform. So run with it, man. I'll tell you what, I bet you there are just as many Ross Chastain fans out there right now as there are the people that hate him.
Well, that's what you want. But when Dale and Jeff were in the heyday of NASCAR, that's what you had. You almost need somebody.
Yeah, we need somebody other than Denny Hamlin to be the opposing force here.
And you need Chase Elliott to be not talking about it,
right?
And doing something.
That's
about
really
it,
you know, if you really want to that's make money want. Off this, you want Chase Elliott being the one grabbing a hold of him.
Well, and that's why, you know, too, Eric, touching on a point that, you know, you and I have gone circles on this in the past, but it's the fact that we say NASCAR doesn't have stars anymore, and that's why you see this, you know, natural growth of F1 through Netflix and whatnot, but they've got these personalities that people really gravitate to. They've got their favorite drivers, and we haven't had that in NASCAR for a little bit here, especially since Dale Jr. retired. I think there's kind of been a gap, and I know people like Chase, but Chase isn't polarizing.
No,
and you've got a guy here who can be right or wrong. You know, good guy or villain, definitely trending towards the villain in my book. But you know, I do want to make sure that I mention, because I listened to that Dale Jr. clip as well. And Dale was talking about his dad, and he mentions the years 86 and 87. Dale was already a champion when this started for him. Here's my pushback. Here's why I don't like the Dale Earnhardt comparisons at all. One, Ross doesn't win races enough. He's got two. It's been a while. Also, Eric, what videos do you have of somebody walking up to Dale Earnhardt and roughing him up, grabbing his shirt, you know,
Rusty,
taking a swing?
That's it.
One guy, right?
Yep.
And we've got multiple guys here that are circling the vulture, or I guess are the vultures circling the meat with Ross. I this is not going to be the last time that hands are put up on Ross.
I'll tell you what, every time somebody grabs a hold of him and gets a face full of the watermelon punch, there would be one fewer person that's going to step up and do this. So
how did you say the watermelon punch without laughing at least a little bit?
I think it's great, man.
It is good. Yeah, the watermelon punch is good.
The more swings that Chastain takes, the fewer people are going to be brave enough to come up to him. That's the difference, is right now everybody thinks they can go up to him, and they're starting to learn that they can't.
Well, how, you know, Denny Hamlin, God love him, he's a CEO. He ain't taking any punches.
Denny runs his mouth, and that's what Denny does.
He's not taking any punches.
That's the difference between Denny Hamlin is Kevin Harvick without the bite.
Yeah.
That's what he is. Harvick, at least, you know, in his heyday, he doesn't care. He's not going to do it anymore. He's grown up. He's matured and doesn't honestly care that much to get into scuffles. But back in the day, Harvick was willing to throw punches and grab a hold of people and jump on top of race cars. Yeah. Yeah. So, and he was willing to go up against somebody like the Rooster, you know, and Ricky Rudd. Somebody that many people wouldn't go up against. But yeah, Denny's not going to do that crap. Denny's a talker. No. Yeah. And like you said, he's a CEO. He's an executive. He's the guy that sits behind the Twitter and makes his comments and gets his cheer when he does the line on the PA.
And short track racing.
You know?
Yeah.
And there you go. James, I know that Ross Chastain's not a champion, but what does the number 31 mean to you?
Jeff Burton.
No, that's how many points he is in the lead of the point standings right now in the Cup Series. So
yeah, he's winning some stages. He's getting 6 points. That's fine.
Yeah.
You got Eric, what does it take to win a championship nowadays?
Wins.
All right.
Yeah, they're coming.
And we stand divided.
They're coming. They're coming. That one car will be in victory lane. Don't you worry.
I don't doubt that. At some point, he will find his way.
I love that we filled another, you know,
I don't know how we freaking do it, man. I said I wasn't going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And you figured out a way to get me in there.
He's a star, James. He is a star in the making.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he is. He is. No. He is. He is what NASCAR needs right now.
He is a yes. He is a personality. Yep. That's for sure.
Yeah. trying to think what else is worth. The consistency finally caught up to Ty Gibbs. Finishes 34th with trouble in this race. Bummer for him, but he's had a great run up to this point. I mentioned Noah Gregson. He finished 29th. Commented that he can pretty much guarantee that Chastain's going to be putting him two laps down every race. So that's two chances he's got to take a run at him during the race each week. So that was funny.
That is good. I'm not going to say what he called him. he called him a couple of names.
Yeah.
And then he said nobody's got the you know what's to.
Yeah.
Go. This is a family pod, so we won't say it. You can go find the interviews.
I don't know that as much as I love what Chastain's doing, I don't think Noah was incorrect in any of his statements either. So
yeah. Did you know? So I was listening to the Teardown, and did you know those two hang out quite a bit?
Well, they did.
They work together. Like they work out together. They have the same trainer. There's a lot of they fly the same plane.
They did, except that now that this happened and Noah's. They made the Toyota announcement last week, depending on what happens with Noah.
Yep.
He may not be part of that discussion anymore.
Yes. So maybe they will potentially. And that whole, so, okay. You mentioned Ty Gibbs. This goes without,
yeah,
I guess I'll put this out there without comment. They asked Ty Gibbs, what he thought of, Legacy coming over to Toyota, and he no commented because we know how much that he, him and Noah get along
right.
in their Xfinity Series battles.
Right.
So that should be interesting. Those two get together and get to, you know, make up and be friends.
Another one who can throw a punch.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Anybody else worth really mentioning this race? Austin Dillon has been struggling this season. He got a top 10. So good for him. Kyle Busch was running well until he wrecked.
How did Joey Logano finish sixth?
Yeah,
he was terrible. And then he won a stage. And then Chase Elliott, I thought he was going to win the race for, you know, about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, where did he come from?
Yeah, it was a race, man. It was something. Martin Truex Jr. finishes eighth after leading 79 laps in the day. Certainly looked like the strongest car early in this thing. Finished second in the first stage, just lost the first stage at the end too, I believe, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
And he got him right at the end.
Yeah.
Bubba Wallace gets fourth place finish. Good for Bubba.
I know he wanted to win this one.
Yeah, he did.
But Reddick, Tyler Reddick
was really good too. Yeah. Ninth place finish for him.
Reddick had the infractions on Saturday, and that was kind of the nail in the coffin for them being able to win. They had no pit selection, and that got him a few times. Kyle Busch, we didn't mention him. He was fast.
I did mention him, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry, you did. Okay, my bad. Yes, he was looking good and not blaming Ross. Didn't blame Ross. Kind of blamed Ross.
Yeah.
Christopher Bell did that. He kind of.
That's the one we need to go after Ross right now. We need the Kyle Busch. It was Kyle coming back as the fan favorite now. That would be the way to make him the fan favorite is to have him get into it with Ross.
He might be the one, and he's not afraid to fight either.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll throw a punch.
Well, let's keep it going. I like it.
There you go. Yeah. So one other thing worth mentioning, Denny Hamlin gets his 49th victory. That ties him all time. 15th, right, with Tony Stewart?
15th all time.
So there you go. 49 victories in 626 Cup Series starts. Definitely, you know, Hall of Fame driver, despite the fact that he doesn't have that championship yet.
I dare I say it. He's the best to never win one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Sorry, Mark Martin fans.
I agree 100%.
I know. That's a scary one to say. Eric, how many wins do you think Denny gets to before it's all said and done?
He's at 49 now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? He's got, I mean, his contract's up at the end of this year.
He says he wants 11 more.
He wants 11 more wins?
I think that's what I heard, yep.
Okay, how many more years do you think he's running?
Four.
You think he'll... I think he'll sign a 2-year contract this year. Contract extension. I think he runs
4. Let's split it down the middle. Let's say he's got 3 competitive years left.
Maybe 55.
All right. So that puts him 11th all time if he gets there.
Yeah. I don't know. Denny hasn't won enough lately for me to be convinced that he's going to just start racking him off multiple wins a season.
I think
he's good for 2 every year.
Yeah, I think 55 is realistic.
Yeah.
Now, here's the other interesting.
I mean, don't get me wrong. 60 is realistic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets hot.
He certainly could.
You win 5 races a season, and you're right there.
Yeah.
You know, he's 1 win away from tying Junior Johnson all time. And the interesting thing about Junior, he doesn't have a title. He is the highest total wins as a driver without. Now, Junior won lots of titles
right.
as a car owner.
Yeah.
But Denny would then take over the title of the most wins in NASCAR Cup Series history without a championship.
Interesting.
Yep. Really yeah, he's in some pretty elite company. You mentioned Tony Stewart. He's way ahead of Bill Elliott now. Junior, Ned Jarrett's next. Lee Petty, Rusty Wallace. And then you've got Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick. Before you get to Dale Earnhardt. So, he's not getting to Dale Earnhardt, and he could catch Kevin Harvick. He's not catching Kyle Busch either. So
yeah.
Kyle might be on his way to 75, 80. I don't even know. I thought he might trickle down, but he's been winning races with RCR. So
right.
He's going to make an attempt at Earnhardt. I think.
Yeah, he's been winning races and they haven't been running well. Imagine when they start to run well.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cause that team ran better last year than it is this year.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
yep.
There you go. That's Cup Series at Kansas.
I'm sad to leave that one behind.
I know. I'm with you. Before we leave the track completely behind though, the Truck Series raced the night before. Grant Enfinger gets the win, leading 65 laps on the way to the victory. This Truck Series, man, not to put ARCA down, but this has become the ARCA series. It is just, how are they going to wreck ridiculously this week?
Yeah, it's noticeable now.
It's been
noticeable, but yeah, at least the ARCA series, they spread out a little bit,
right?
They don't do that in the Truck Series very, very well.
Yeah.
This was a lot of crashes.
Speaking of Kyle Busch, finishes 7th, still trying to get that 100th win in the Truck Series. Just struggled throughout this race.
Yeah, won a stage, but never was
really,
you know, didn't lead a whole ton of laps.
Yeah, he did get in the back of somebody at one point, and that kind of threw the day off, got damage, and that was kind of the end of it for him. And that, just since they've gone to Chevy with that team, they're on par with everybody else now, and when Kyle gets damaged, he's human now.
Yes.
In this series and the Xfinity series. And so he's not able to just pick it up on his back and win.
He's still averaging a 3rd place finish in his 4 starts.
Yeah.
Which is still an improvement from last year, which is crazy. He's just crazy good.
Not saying he's bad by any means. No.
He's got 1 race left, I believe, because he can only do 5 now. So,
yeah. Stuart Friesen gets the top 5 finish, finishes 4th. Ran well on this one, did finish 9th in the 2nd stage, but he was contending for a while. Corey Heim continues to run great in the Truck Series, finishes 2nd, 8 and 3rd in the stages, leads 13 laps in the day. Zane Smith continuing to be Zane Smith in the Truck Series. And old Chastain got himself 5th place finish in this one too.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Anything else with the Truck Series worth talking about? Carson Hocevar wrecked in that one restart wreck.
It's
the ARCA style wreck. Well, it wasn't his fault this week, so at least.
Well,
he didn't wreck anybody. He just was caught up in it.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys were 4 and 5 wide on the restarts. It was pretty incredible, but
yeah, it's a sight to see. Did you mention Haley Deegan?
I did not mention Haley Deegan. That's a good point.
Haley's, you know, I will say I have noticed that Haley has crept up the standings this year. Every time I check the Truck Series standing or Truck Series results, I see Haley Deegan just a little bit better.
Yeah, she's having a better year this year.
Putting it together.
One other one worth mentioning. I was saving her for my shout out, but I'll do it now. Tony Breitinger ran her first Truck Series race, finished 15th in her first race, which is pretty good. She ran the ARCA race earlier in the day. She finished 11th, just short of a top 10 in the ARCA race. Also brought a new sponsor to the sport with Victoria's Secret. you know, just
what is the secret?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the secret is that there's a men's line, apparently, she was talking about on one
Excuse me?
Yeah, there's a Victoria's Secret men's line.
Wow.
Yeah. So one of the podcasts she was on, she was talking about
I like
about
to support
it, so.
NASCAR sponsors. So
yeah, there you go. but good for her to come up here and you know, have a very respectable finish in the truck series in her first race. So, yeah. And doing it back to back in the same day. I mean, there was a pretty big break in between, but still it was a hot day in Kansas and able to get it done. So I think we'll be seeing more of her.
One of my favorite drivers, was in this race and he doesn't run every week. But I always like to mention Lawless Allen.
Yeah. It's a great name.
What a great man. We got to get that guy. We got to get him up front.
Yeah.
What a great name. My God.
It's terrific.
Lawless Allen. He'd be a he'd be a superstar.
Yeah.
If he could just win some races. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's almost as good as Dick Trickle. I don't know.
It's pretty good.
Something's up there.
That's funny. The Young Motorsports trucks both had trouble. Spencer Boyd and Chris Wright both wrecked at different points in this race. Yeah, I guess that's about it for the truck series.
Yes,
Grant Enfinger, it is his eighth victory in 158, Craftsman truck series starts.
I cannot believe how old Grant Enfinger is.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was.
I love how you
40.
Say you can't believe how old he is, and he is 3 years younger than me.
He's right around my age. Well, no, he's not quite around my age. He's a little older than me. Eric, he's going to be 39.
I know. He's been around for a long time.
I know. I think of him as a young driver still.
Yeah.
I forget that he tried to start a cup race in 2011. Is a lot. And he was 26. So, yeah, he's been around a while.
Worth mentioning, Nick Sanchez as well finished sixth. He's the highest finishing rookie in this race. Sanchez continues to run well as well this year. So,
yep, good point.
There you go. There's the truck series at Kansas. We leave Kansas in the rearview mirror. Unfortunately, I wish we could. Right now, I wish we could race there every week the way it's been.
We'd bottle it up. If we weren't going to Darlington, I'd agree with you.
That's true.
We're going to Darlington. So I'm okay. I'll be okay.
Speaking of blasts from the past, James Ryan Newman's back.
Oh boy.
Running the 51 car for Rick Ware Racing. Got a couple starts planned. He is running Darlington this weekend, so he's eligible to run in the open at North Wilkesboro. So yeah, old Ryan is back in the seat.
Is he doing this just because he wants to race at North Wilkesboro?
So this article with Beyond the Flag says that he where's the line here?
I don't like it.
In this story. It was something along the lines of that he said that he's only going to do it if it's fun. He wants to have fun. That's the only way he's going to do it.
I don't blame him for that. I wish if Ryan wanted to have fun, I wish he would go and race in the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series and try to, you know, go get some race wins. And I've never been a huge fan. I have all the respect in the world for Terry Labonte and Bobby Labonte. They're Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I hated what happened at the end of their careers.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
I don't like that. I don't like that. You know, even Jimmy's toying with it a little bit.
Yep.
But I mean, he's a 7-time champ, so he can.
You defended Jimmy doing it.
I know. Well, Jimmy's trying to do a thing, though. He's starting his own. I mean,
it's
true. He's trying to do something a little bit bigger than just making.
No,
starts.
Jimmy's just doing what Richard Petty did, you know.
Sure.
Driving for his own team and struggling.
Yeah, barely running a lap at Coda.
Yeah.
Which
is perfect that he's partnered with Richard Petty. So.
That's right. Although Jimmy's still.
Jimmy still could kick any of our asses in a heartbeat.
I'm just picking
on Jimmy. Jimmy's Jimmy. He's a different specimen. Well,
Ryan's not. I don't know. Like I don't like what's happened with the later stages of his career. You know, he did the Roush Fenway thing, got forced out there. He did the. Didn't he drive? Oh my God! Yeah, he did the. Didn't he? Who did he sub for?
I mean, this is. You know, past SRX champion Ryan Newman, right?
No, it's not. He's a, I think he's an SRX winner.
I thought he won the championship. Didn't he win the championship?
No, that was Marco Andretti.
So, oh, okay.
You're talking to the SRX historian.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. No, I don't like what, I don't know. I'm not a fan of what's happened to the Rocket Man. But again, these guys earn the right to do as they see fit. And, you know, that team, you know, Eric, we talked about this a little bit. We talked about that team bringing in a veteran driver.
Yeah.
And I did not see Ryan Newman coming out of nowhere to take that spot. Ryan Newman's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame someday. So, you know, he's like kind of, I think feel like he's kind of,
that's an interesting conversation. Yeah. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
He's top 75 driver of all time. So he's, you know, he's got that honor.
Yeah.
And I love the car that they're putting him in. It looks just like his old Mobile One scheme. So I'm pretty excited about that. So Ryan was a great, like, he was just fast, you know, but just a solid veteran. I just don't know if this is how it should come to an end for him. That's all.
Yeah. Concerns. I don't have anything to add there. I don't disagree with you. I mean, if you're Rick Ware Racing, this is a huge win.
A beautiful win. Best driver they've ever had.
Yeah. He probably will outperform what anybody else has done in that car. So good for them.
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe he'll be enough to get him headed in the right track. I don't know. He's not running that many races.
He's never driven the next gen car. So yeah, this will be a first for him.
Yeah.
This is new territory for Ryan.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I'm with you. I don't like seeing these guys do this sort of thing, but like Jimmy Johnson, he's earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants to do to finish out his career. So
yeah, I mean, if they're calling him and giving him a paycheck and he's having fun, like you said,
yep,
sure, go drive. It'd be cool to see him in the field.
Yeah,
you know, the first couple of times. I just, you know, I hope he doesn't do it for too long. Maybe that's my problem. I don't want to see him doing this for 10 years.
You know? Don't be the guy that runs the back marker car
for that long. Like Bill Elliott even did that for God forever. He did that forever.
Yeah.
It was just sad.
Yeah. So. It's no good. No good.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of drivers coming back, James, we get to see Carl Edwards again this weekend at Darlington. He's going to be in the booth.
Oh, I am. Yes. I am unreasonably excited.
That's very cool. I'm excited about that too. Also mentioning, in the booth, who the heck was in the booth? Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch is so good in the booth.
Excited.
This may be an unpopular opinion. And nothing against Kevin Harvick, but can we put Kurt in the booth instead of Harvick?
Kevin's pretty good.
No, I agree. I agree, but I like Kurt better. I think Kurt does a better job. How about this? I got one for you. Let's get rid of Clint Bowyer and put both Harvick and Busch in the booth.
I thought everybody liked Clint, though.
Yeah, I don't mind Clint, but we don't need three drivers in the booth.
Kurt gets excited.
He does.
That's the only.
He is very biased up there, but he is also very willing to admit that he's biased when he's cheering for that 45 car. So,
Kurt reminds me of Dale Jr. early.
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
So I'll state again, I don't think Harvick is excited enough.
Yes.
In the booth. I think he needs to get more excited. Harvick, I could see, and I think we've talked about this on here, I could see Harvick eventually taking over a play-by-play role versus an analyst role. I think maybe he's Mike Joy's replacement down the road.
Could be, yeah.
Which would be interesting.
Yep.
So, speaking of Darlington, we are going to Darlington Raceway this weekend, the NASCAR throwback weekend this weekend. Any favorite schemes you've seen so far, James? I think we really like the Tim Richmond scheme, right?
Yeah, Byron's 75 throwback to Jeff Gordon's 50th throwback.
That one's pretty good. The Larson one is pretty good.
Larson's running Tony Stewart's Hendrick Cars scheme. I love that.
Did you see the RCR Xfinity schemes thrown back to Harvick this weekend? Yes,
those ones are really good.
Especially because the number's in the right place. That helps.
Yes. Anything Dale Jarrett is good. So that's Stenhouse, that's Ross, and Carson Hocevar.
Yeah.
Carson Hocevar is driving the truck.
Yes, he is. He is.
So, yeah, we've been wanting to see that forever. So,
yeah, there's some decent ones this year, but I feel like maybe we haven't seen enough of them, but I feel like, first of all, James, I'm going to agree with you. The numbers on the doors of the next gen cars just look silly as throwbacks.
Yes.
And in all honesty, you know, I know that we've made this special thing with Darlington. as the throwback race, but it feels really silly to be doing throwbacks at Darlington when we're going to North Wilkesboro next week.
Yep.
So, yep. I mean, really, if you want a true throwback race, that it should be North Wilkesboro. But yeah, they need to put the, they should put the numbers on the doors for these throwback schemes. They're just the all of these schemes you see, like the Harrison Burton throwback to Jeff Burton's car, it's got that swoop, and that swoop's designed to be in front of the number, and it's behind the number with this. It's just,
yep,
it looks silly.
Yes, it does.
I give credit to people like Ryan Blaney, who's doing a throwback to his dad's sprint car. I normally wouldn't be excited about throwbacks that are outside of the Cup Series, but if you're going to throw back with this car, I think you can throw back to anything, because the cars look silly with the numbers where they are.
Yep.
Unless it's done right. I mean, there's a couple of them that look right or look pretty damn good, but...
Yeah. A lot of people are upset that Larson's not running a Kellogg's throwback.
I saw a teaser of that online.
There's like there's a lot of like Twitter talk about that. So I'm just wondering if, why, I guess maybe the why, but
I don't know.
People want to see the Kellogg's car again.
I guess so.
Oh.
So we get to make our picks for this weekend at Darlington, James. I'm still behind, but I did gain on you this week to hold 2 points.
You did. I lost. This was devastating for me. I lost for the first time since, when was the last loss I had? Atlanta.
I had the best weekend I've had all season.
I lost. Yeah, your last week, your last win came 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, almost 2 months ago.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
But you closed the gap. Closed the gap, Eric.
We picked the 2311 cars, and I picked the better one by 2 points. Bubba Wallace.
Yep.
So we go into Darlington Raceway this weekend, and I've been going back and forth on my picks because I'm really going with average finish here and drivers that have run well here. I'm kind of tossed because I kind of want to save both of these guys for road courses. But because I want to save them for road courses, I'm going to save the one I think is going to be better on road courses, and I'm going to go with Christopher Bell as my pick this weekend.
I like it. Nice work. All right. So
I really want to pick who you're going to pick.
Yeah.
But I just don't trust it.
I know. So I don't, you know, I'm taking him. It doesn't matter. Eric Jones, he's always good here.
I can't afford to jinx him when he's having a bad season.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, too, Eric, one of the things with our new format, we got to watch the drivers we're picking at some point.
Yeah.
I think Eric Jones is good value here regardless. You know, I think he's at least probably a top 10 finish, if not a win.
That was why I almost went with him myself, because I think Darlington leaves a lot up in the air, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of, I don't know that you're picking a winner here as much as you're picking. I mean, I honestly, the one I was going to go for that is going to surprise you. Let me go back. Michael McDowell has a pretty good average finish.
Yeah.
Here.
Yep.
So he was one I was really going to look at, but I still got that second Daytona race hanging out there that who knows what I'm going to go with there. So I wanted to kind of leave my super speedway options open. And he's definitely a good pick for a super speedway because I've kind of used a lot of them up.
Yeah.
So, and then William Byron's another one who's got a good average finish. Well, his average finish isn't good here, but he's run well here. He just got wrecked last year on the way to a win.
Yep.
So neither
of us have used William Byron.
I know. See, he was on my list too, but I'm like, yeah, I there's got to be a better place for William Byron that's more of a guaranteed option.
Yeah. Yeah. Neither of us have used Byron. Neither of us have used Blaney.
Yeah.
Which
Blaney's not a terrible pick here either. Justin Haley has a good average finish here as well, surprisingly.
Neither of us have picked Stenhouse, Ty Gibbs. That's pretty much it. For the most part, we've scattered
Ryan
our
Preece
picks pretty
is
well.
Open.
Yep.
Daniel Suarez is open for both of us, too.
Yeah, Blaney and Byron. That's an interesting combination. I wonder if... I'm looking ahead to next week, but I might have given it away. You might take him next week.
Yeah.
You get the first pick every week, so I got to be careful.
Yeah, it'll be a while before that changes.
I haven't picked Kyle Busch or Chase Elliott yet, so
yeah.
I haven't picked Bell. I haven't picked Logano, Bubba. So I've got a few.
Quite a few bullets left in the chamber, actually.
Yeah, I'm trying to balance it out. So yeah, I think Eric Jones here is a pick that will, you know, be solid for me for the season in a whole.
But that's why I think you're going to win this, James, because you have capitalized on lesser picks, and I have blown all of my good picks. or most of my good picks and not gotten anything out of them.
Yeah, and maxed out on a couple of them too, like Larson and Truex. Those are really good days. A lot of 40s. Yeah. You know, I happen to pick them
on the week they suck.
Yeah, but even like I had Kevin Harvick, you know, you might beat me on him with Michigan, you know, yeah. You know what I mean? So there's going to be attrition at some point. It's just when does the attrition come? So that's what I like about this format. It's, you know, you got to kind of play the long game too.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
It is great.
And I already have some ideas to change it up for next year. So to make it even better, but not create such a, like, either you're great or suck. You know, that's
yeah. I don't know if it was the format.
Shut up. Shut up.
No, you had some, dude.
There's some bad weeks. At least nobody got disqualified. So
that's right. Yeah, I haven't had that yet.
I mean, they might as well have because I have 2 1-point weekends, so they could have been disqualified. And it would have made a difference.
Same thing. Yeah.
So, fantasy league. Are we going to create a new rule for the fantasy league that if you place on the NASCAR.com, top 100 or whatever,
first,
that you don't get to
the first page of NASCAR.com. Yeah,
you don't get to participate in ours anymore.
Yeah. I guess you could retire as the GOAT. Baron Speedway gets the win. Mickey Elliott was second. Tandem Draftona third. Eric, I had Ty Gibbs.
Yeah.
And I left him in instead of William Byron. And that was not smart. So I finished eighth. I finished eighth and you finished 10th. Overall, I'm going to go back to what you said here in just a second. Overall, Baron Speedway, in a league of his own, we're all racing for second. If we wanted to crown him right now, we could probably invite him on the pod before the season's over.
I was thinking about trying to get him there's only one off week, but maybe we'll try and we'll figure out a way to get him on here. I'd like to get him on before.
I am coming out his way next week though.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm heading over to the west side, so nice. Maybe I have to reach out to him.
If you see the track before I see the track, I'm going to be PO'd.
Yeah, we'll see. If he hears this, I'll have to reach out.
Right.
And see what he says. Tandem Draftona second, Mickey Elliott third, so our top three in the race, top three overall. Rangers fourth, you're fifth, I'm sixth, so plenty of action at the top. But as you hinted at, Eric, Baron Speedway... If you go to NASCAR Fantasy Live and you go to the homepage of the entire shebang, Baron Speedway, 32nd overall, he is in the mix.
That is incredible.
He's less than 100 points off the lead. Overall, the lead's at 2,527. He's at 2,473. So
it's incredible.
He's one good week away from maybe leading the whole damn thing.
That's so awesome.
It's pretty cool that he's doing it. And the best part of it is it says the Super Speedway right there on the homepage. So
that's cool.
Yep.
I'm looking here to see, has he gotten a win on NASCAR?
He's the man, dude. He may not have a win, but he's top three all the time. It's incredible.
I'm going to have to look back through this now and see if he's managed to get himself a win or if he's just...
You haven't seen that yet, but...
Just ticking his way. That's incredible. Good job, Baron. That's awesome. So cool.
Yep. Keep it going, man. We're rooting for you.
Yeah. We'll all race for second. That's fine.
Yep.
No problems.
I don't even have to worry about my title defense at this point. I feel like it's already over, so at least it's a... at least it makes me feel better. So
there you go. Any shout-outs this week, James?
Yes, it's kind of a shout out, kind of a black flag.
Okay.
These F1 drivers, I mean, good Lord, they did a really kind of fancy, cool driver intro and the fans absolutely loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I did see that. I didn't watch much of the F1 race. But I thought the driver intro was fantastic. I'm like, oh, this is cool. They did some new things. That's great. Didn't think anything else of it. But the drivers, holy crap, were they complaining about it. And, of course, Max Verstappen's leading the way. He's the biggest baby on the planet. So that's kind of like my shout-out. That was cool. And Black Flag, come on. Quit whining. You're a bunch of babies. The F1 race, real interesting when you've got two cars 26 seconds ahead of anybody else. It's yeah, good job. It looks like you guys are having fun.
0.90 rating, 1.646 million viewers for the F1 Miami race.
Yes.
Down from a 1.08 and 2.066 million viewers last season. James, I believe that based on some of the stuff that I've watched, I think people, the popularity has brought the people in, and the racing has made them realize that it's just not the cool thing anymore. I think the popularity is going to start declining, yeah, especially with three races in the U.S.
They are getting a dose of what F1 really is and what, yeah, it's always been.
Yeah.
And I know they had an incredible championship in 2021.
Yeah.
F1 doesn't always play out that way.
No. And, you know, I mean, they're experiencing the NASCAR thing right now, where it's just not going to be the cool thing anymore, and people are going to move on to other stuff. And Formula One's going to be now stuck with three races in the U.S. And they tried to make Miami the U.S. Monaco Grand Prix, and they, mm-hmm, just jacking up the prices doesn't do it. Of course, you know, Jeff Bezos was there this weekend, and so was Elon Musk. So, you know, that'll draw the people. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, as soon as it's not the cool place to be anymore, you're going to lose that casual fan base. And, you know, I guess that's the one thing I can give NASCAR credit for, is that NASCAR is not, I don't think, as much trying to go after that casual fan base anymore. They're trying to get back to the roots. And unfortunately, they've done so much damage along the way that it's hard to get those people back, and not to mention they need the younger viewers too to do it. But
yeah, well, F1 has three races in America, and you've got one that you might be able to afford to go to at Coda.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody can go to Vegas, and I mean, who's affording to go to Vegas and Miami?
It's stupid.
It's terrible.
It's stupid. So for the price, well, first of all, did you see the pictures of the concessions or the souvenir stands, the price,
yes,
of hats and,
oh,
shirts?
Oh, yeah, $300 t-shirts, man.
Yeah, $100, yep, for a hat.
Yeah.
I mean, so I was looking at, I'm almost certainly going to Atlanta this summer in July as a fan, and I'm going to buy tickets and go. And I was looking, and you can sit in the, I think it's called Club One. It's basically a suite that anybody can get a ticket to, for $450, I think, for Sunday for the Cup, yep, Series. I mean, that won't even get you in the gates at Miami.
It's better better prices and better racing.
Yeah. And you're sitting in air conditioning and in a suite at Atlanta. Yep. Best view of the house. So, I don't know.
I mean, I've enjoyed tapping into F1 a little bit, but
yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
I think the way I experience F1 is perfect. And I've even lost interest enough that I don't watch the highlights anymore. But I think, mm-hmm, following the storylines, if to me the ideal situation for Formula One is to watch the highlights, watch the series on Netflix.
Yes.
And that's good enough. You know, check in on social media here and there, and that's all I need. I don't need the full race.
Yeah, because you know who's going to win, and you know who's going to win the championship. It's already done. Like, that's, yep, it's done. It's Red Bull, and their two drivers will duke it out in some way, and Max will get upset, and then he'll win his championship.
Well, and all those people that call into SiriusXM NASCAR radio in the mornings and say, "Can't we just do Run What You Brung and get rid of all these rules?" That is what you're going to have. You will have,
yep,
Formula One if you do that.
Gotta be careful.
And
yep,
we don't want that. Everybody,
careful what you wish for.
What we saw this weekend at Kansas is exactly what NASCAR is trying to get to. Has, yep, it worked 100%? No, obviously it hasn't. But it has at Kansas, and we're on the right, yep, track. And James, I don't know if you caught the interview. I think it was Kenny Wallace was talking to Mark Martin this week, and asked Mark about this car and whatnot. And Mark said basically he doesn't want to be the Debbie Downer. He doesn't want to be the guy who complains about everything and the old guy who says it used to be good back when I was racing. But he said, Martin said, and Mark was critical about these car changes when they were going to the, mm-hmm, 550 horsepower package. I sat at Michigan and listened to him talk about it. He said that this is the best racing we've ever seen in NASCAR right now. And he's not wrong. It is more competitive than it's ever been.
Yeah, there's times where it's There's times where it's really good, and there's times where it's really bad.
I think even when it's really bad, though, James, I don't think it's...
It's not the worst thing in the world.
If you average it out, it's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, and Martinsville is not the worst place to see a race, and no. So what? The show's not great right now, but they're working on it.
Yeah, that's the thing is NASCAR is not sitting on their hands. Unfortunately, with this car, one of the disadvantages is that it takes a lot to change. Yep. You can't just go to the teams and say, hey, this is a new part this week, or we're doing this differently, because now you have one manufacturer making that part, and you have to get them on. You have to get the teams on board to spend the money on the part that now they're going to have to replace. And then you have to get the manufacturer to make this part in enough quantity to put it on the cars and all that. So it's a slow process. Yep. Now we're now turning the Titanic instead of turning the speedboat. But
yep.
And because of that, it hasn't saved the teams any money either, which is disappointing. Because it hasn't done what it was supposed to do, but it has made, James, it's made things more equal, because if it's hard to pass, that means that the cars are more equal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so anyway, black flags. You got any black flags this week? I know you kind of already did yours.
Yeah, I kind of did mine. I'm good. Yep.
Mine is going to be Sean Corr in the ARCA race. I don't know if you caught the ARCA race at Kansas, James. He was driving eight car. He was the one who spun three times in turn two.
Yes.
Tried to mow the grass three separate times, brought out two cautions. I don't know if he ended up parking it after the third one, but he should have. I mean, I guess you're going to learn in that series, and that's the point of that series. But I guess he gets my black flag and my checkered flag, because all three times he managed to not wreck the car, not involve anybody else, and not hit anything. So there you go. Yep.
Malcolm in the Middle is no longer the points leader, but he's still up there. Yeah, top 10 again.
Yeah.
I've been just kind of keeping an eye on Malcolm. He's doing good.
Bummer for Eli Tomac in the Supercross series. I don't know if you caught that. Leading, running away with the championship, and blows out his Achilles tendon and is out for the season. Gives the championship over to Chase Sexton. What a bummer for Eli. Going for three. And
I saw the photo of when he ruptured his Achilles, and I said, you know, I've been toying around with the idea of getting back on the dirt bike. I retired from that many years ago, and I said, no, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, my stepdad just got himself a new one. I don't know if he's ever going to ride it. I think he's just going to put stuff on it and carry it around in the back of his truck. But if he does ride it, yeah, it might entice me to look at getting back into it, but it's been a while for me too.
Man, last time I did it, I went ass over tea kettle, and I said, I'm done.
Yeah. My knees remind me every day of my dirt bike days. So
I love those days.
Yeah. They were fun
to be young.
Dude, we had a motocross track in our yard. I used to come home from work and just hop on the bike and go ride. I mean, I was terrible.
I used to ride around in the woods all the time.
I couldn't jump or anything. I was scared to jump. So I rode around most of the jumps we had, but it was awesome, man. It was very cool.
No, I used to be really good at ripping straight lines and then going into the hair, because we had a line of pine trees, and I would jump the driveway and then fly down the front yard around the apple trees and then a pine tree, and I would hairpin it. And my mom and dad were like, you gotta stop tearing up the yard. Can you find a different place to ride in the back? So I had to shorten up my track, and
that's funny,
not go around the big yard as much.
I don't think I knew this about you. I don't know that I knew you were a dirt biker.
Yeah, I used to rip shit up all the time.
Jeez, another one of those things.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about it now. But I had a 50cc as a kid, and then I had an 80cc, and I got all the way up to a 250 for a while. And
nice,
that's when I locked up the front brakes trying to go through the woods, and ended up on my back and looked up at the sky, and as the bike was laying next to me, and I said, I'm done. I am done.
I met Kay, my wife, and that was the end for me. I started playing around on the four-wheeler, riding around next to the track instead of riding on the track. So that was my retirement.
That's right. Yeah. The four wheels is a lot safer than the two.
Yeah. Well, in theory,
four wheels are a lot more comfortable than two.
They're more comfortable, safer. I don't know, but more comfortable for sure.
Until you,
James, where can people find you on social media if they want to hit you up during the week?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at T Super Speedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/thesuperspeedway. Our website is thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe for new episodes each week. And if you want to leave us an audio message, you can do so by going to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway. Darlington Raceway is on tap this weekend. It is throwback weekend for the NASCAR Cup Series, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Truck Series. And then we head to North Wilkesboro after that to bring the track back from the dead. We'll be back next week to break down the Darlington weekend happenings and talk about North Wilkesboro. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.